It'll be read by Tina T from Hollywood.
I'm an addict named Tina. She was one of the first women in Iran NA when she got clean. 5 years later, the fellowship had grown, but she had drifted away from the program. When her husband died, she relapsed. Now clean again, she has a true peace and self-respect. Sacred places inside. I am one of the first women who found recovery in the NA program in Iran. I was born to an upper middle class family in which everyone was pretty well educated and successful, but I felt different. I was afraid expressing myself since I did not want to be exposed. Sorry, my phone keeps ringing. I did not want to be exposed as different or weird. I wanted to be a good daughter and work hard to please others, but it seemed like I never could. I would be successful for a little while only to lose hope and feel guilty and powerless to change. I hated myself for most of my life because of these feelings. As I got older, my feelings of discomfort and isolation kept getting stronger. My inability to belong was the source of some of my most painful feelings. I couldn't find anyone to feel comfortable and close with. I did anything to get attention or approval from others. Sometimes I was loud and active. At other times, I was very quiet. I kept looking for a place to belong. No one in my family smoked, drank, or used drugs. I started smoking cigarettes when I was 16 and kept wanting to try new things. While I was attending college, I decided to get married to fill the hole that I felt inside. In my second year of marriage, my daughter was born. My feelings of loneliness followed me into adulthood. I kept looking for new things to fill my emptiness. Every time I found something new, I thought it would fix me. However, anything that I tried kept my interest only for a short while and eventually led to more problems and headaches. On the surface, I seemed to have a good, comfortable life, but on the inside, I was ready to explode. I found drugs when I was 28. At the beginning, my husband and I used occasionally for pleasure. As our using progressed, I felt alarmed and tried to control my using. However, my disease had become active and gradually spread to different parts of my life. My compulsion to use grew dramatically. I was in love with drugs. I used more than people who had been using for a long time. I believe that I had finally found what I'd always been looking for and didn't know how I could ever live without drugs. I was in conflict with myself, my using, and myself. The first few years of using were enjoyable, but after that, all that was left was pain, isolation, and guilt. I did everything in secret. I had to deal with the painful reality of my life. The pretending was killing me. After 7 or 8 years of using, the only bond left between me and my husband was the drugs. Finally, I came to the conclusion that the only way to free myself from drugs was to separate from my husband. I was tired and hated everyone and everything. Today, I can see that my whole life was about self-centeredness. Both my marriage and my separation were based in self-centeredness. All of my biggest decisions amounted to running away, escaping reality, and staying in denial. After my separation, I escaped back to drugs. This time, I used until I nearly lost my mind. I felt like a wind-up toy, a sleepwalker. I reached complete desperation. For the last few months of my using, I cried every night. Since I had tried quitting a few times in the past, only to go back in very little time, I believed it would take a miracle for me to get clean. One night, I begged God until nearly morning to show me a way to save myself. The next day, I was watching satellite television and saw this person talking about addiction and getting clean. He was saying unbelievable things about himself and about recovery. At the end of the program, he gave a phone number and I ran. I called the number many times at all hours, but no one answered. After a few days, I started losing hope and began to think I was just gullible and that show was probably a commercial and a bunch of lies. However, I continued calling the number every few days until one day somebody answered and told me that he didn't have time to talk, but he gave me another phone number to call. Full of fear and doubt, I called. The person who answered is one of my best friends in recovery today. I had called looking for some sort of medication or a simple way to quit without having to suffer a lot of pain or taking time off from work. I was afraid, so I didn't talk a lot about my using. Still, the miracle happened. He told me that I needed to get clean and go to meetings. When I asked him about a way to detox, he asked me if I knew any doctors. My answer was no. Then he shared with me that some of us detox without any medication. Even though I was using a high dose of drugs, I started from that day. For 14 days, I stayed home and went through the pain of detoxing. My only connection with the outside world was three people in recovery who called me regularly from Tehran. After 51 days, I went to Tehran and attended a meeting. There were no women and only about 10 men in that meeting. We didn't have a place to meet, so we met in the middle of a park, standing even in rain or snow. I didn't know what I was doing there. I was afraid, and yet something kept taking me back. Since I had no other options, I kept going to meetings and stayed hopeful. I worked the steps and stayed clean for 5 years. At that time, I didn't know of any women in recovery in my city and was scared of going to meetings there. Every so often, I would go to Tehran for a few days to attend meetings. I would go back to meetings morning, afternoon, and night, and then I would go back home. After 5 years clean, I started believing that I could stay clean forever. I stayed away from meetings and got separated from the program. I got involved with everyday life and forgot why I had ever used drugs. I forgot that I had a disease, and more importantly, that the disease is progressive and difficult for me to detect. I've forgotten that I needed to protect my recovery at all times, work the steps in everyday life, attend meetings regularly, and be part of the program. I would only go to my home meetings in Tehran when I had time or when it was easy for me. By this time in Tehran, the meetings had grown and there were many women. I was no longer alone, but I had become distant and separated. At some point during this period, I lost my husband, who I dearly loved. His death was unbearable for me, and I relapsed. I still think that if I had been really committed and involved in the program, maybe this would not have happened. My relapse didn't last very long. I only used a few times, but I stopped believing in myself and returned to complete isolation. I wanted to die. During the 5 years I had been clean, I had built a close relationship with God. I felt as if God was always with me because everything was going well and things were going my way. After my relapse, I cursed God for a long time. I felt that because I had stayed clean, he should have protected me from relapse. Ultimately, I had to come back to God and ask for help. One more time, God showed me his miracle. I moved to Tehran where my home meetings were, but I still would not go to them. I was immersed in hopelessness. My original friend in recovery appeared in my life again. With his help, I went back to meetings, got a sponsor, and started working the steps. This time, I knew that I needed to get more in depth with the steps and my recovery. With a new level of open-mindedness, I gradually got more and more involved in the program. This time, I understood that I couldn't live without NA. I started sponsoring others and getting involved in service work. The miracle happened for me one more time. My relapse had become a turning point for me, and with a short period, I grew much more than I had done in the first 5 years of recovery. This time, since I have surrendered to the program, I'm learning how to live. Before my relapse, I had everything: family, money, love, and a comfortable life. After my husband's death and my relapse, when I came back to NA, I had lost many things, including my husband's love and my financial security. Gradually, I had earned much more important things. I had a sense of satisfaction about my life. I have a peace of mind, faith, and a positive outlook on life. I have never realized that I have deep, sacred places inside, and that events can't strip them from me. My fear has subsided tremendously. I have all of these, not just because I've stayed clean, but also because I've been willing to work the steps in my daily life and actions, live the principles of the program, and truly become a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Because my parents were well known in their community, I was always afraid of doing something that would hurt their reputation. In my first 5 years of being clean, I never had the courage to attend a large gathering or admit that I was an addict in front of others. Today, I go to meetings and conventions and wherever necessary. I let others know that I am an addict. I discuss my addiction and my recovery with my parents without fear. Today, I can be myself and I do not have to hide my feelings. I am not sorry for my past and I'm not afraid of tomorrow. I don't live with my fears. NA has offered me a life that I never expected. I believe I needed to experience my relapse in order to take recovery seriously. I realize that relapse is not an easy matter and not everyone makes it back. I experienced horrible days and lost many things that are important to me. Today, I know that I cannot stay away from meetings, that I need to move on the path of recovery on a daily basis and make steady progress. I realize that in order to keep what I have, I need to share it with others. I have come to know unconditional love and have more balance in my life. I experience serenity and know that NA really works.
Thank you, Tina. Am I heard okay? Anyway, I'd like to introduce our next speaker/author. I don't want to let this go, but she and Mahmood shared in our meeting, and it was kind of revealed that Mahmood appeared in her story as her original friend, and so I thought that was kind of a neat thing. But Seema, that's your story, so we'll let you share it.
Hi, my name is Seema, and I'm an addict. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So first, thanks, Tina, for reading my story. It's my second time that I hear my story and still is amazing. I don't believe that it was me. Sometimes it's like I imagine what I was. I need to think about these days and I feel sorry for myself still when I look at myself, how it was passing that day. It's like a movie for me when I hear my story. And really thank NA, you know. Yesterday I was thinking by myself that if I was not in NA right now, and it was the situation that right now I have in my life, where I was. Really where I was. And when I hear my story, I think that, oh my God, NA gave me my life. NA gave me back my life. NA gave me the situation that right now I have. I have a lot, and without NA, I was nowhere. Without my friend, without the member. I remember how self-centered as I was, yes. Because my story started from the day that I started to hide myself. I started to ignore myself because nobody liked what I was. So I need to hide what I was in real. And I need to pretend what they want me to be, not myself. My parents might want me to be something, the society want me to be something, my friend, and I wasn't none of these. My feeling was something like something other than that. And you know, when I hear all this story today, I say, that's why again I told myself, that's why I'm in NA. Part of this story was part of my life. That's why I'm in NA, because they are the only people who can understand me and who can feel my feeling, this is the people who are there. Not my parent even, not yet, nobody, but the NA members. And so I pretend to be someone else, of course. And this, I was very, they think that I was, oh my God, I'm very good daughter, I'm very good student, I'm very good everything. But sometimes I feel that I'm exploding from inside. I wanted to say, hey, I don't like that. Hey, I don't like this. Hey, I want to be this. But I just kept quiet. And I started smoking cigarettes when I was in high school. Of course, hiding. And then I started using some drug, like some marijuana in hiding, but I didn't like him because I lost my control and I didn't want to lose my control. I didn't want, because I always hear from everybody that addiction is very bad and addict people are very bad people. So I didn't want to be an addict. But then I start other way, like painting, then falling in love, then marriage. Marriage was another thing that I want to try to just feel something better, you know, in me. Not really, I didn't, because I was 18 years, you know, 18 years old. And it was not, I just want to change my life, change my feeling. Then I have my daughter. I want to change my feeling. And everything worked for me for a while, for a little while. Then I found drug. Yeah, it was, everything was, at first I tried to control it, but it was enough for me. It was enough for me. And now sometimes I think that even I thank God that I found drug. Because if I didn't found drug, maybe I made a suicide at that time. And even if I didn't find drug, I never find NA. So sometimes I don't have a regret to be an addict. Because of my addiction, I found NA. And because of my addiction, I found the people here. And because of my addiction, now I feel better in my life. I can be good by myself. I can love myself. I don't have a regret. Then I have my relapse, of course, because I believe that everything was... I have my second marriage. I have my second marriage. This was my love of my life. This was my higher power. For sometimes he was my higher power. And he replaced my higher power. Then I have a distance from NA. And when he died in my arm, I relapsed. I lost everything again. And so when I lost my financial, then I lost my love, then I lost my clean time. That was the worst, because the worst part, because I didn't want to be back to the NA anymore. I was shy again. I was again ashamed of myself. Again, as I was this bad daughter. Again, I was this bad girl that made a mistake. So I was really ashamed of myself, but thank God I was back in NA. And this time everything was different. I didn't have anything but NA to fight for my clean time. And this time I knew that how important was NA. This time I knew that what I have to do. So I start to be in service. I still don't speak English very fluently, but at time I didn't speak English. But I start to, and I never go to the school for English because my second language is French. But so I start to translating all the like sponsorship as some of the tests from English to Persian. Because I loved NA, I wanted to be service. I start to sponsor more people. And we start this woman meeting, you know? It's very, very hard in my country to be a woman. The women don't have enough rights. And the women are second class citizenship in my country. Especially with this government and everything that we have our rules. And being an addict woman is like being a killer. It's like being a, I don't know, the worst thing in the world. You cannot say that I can be a good addict woman, or I'm now in NA, or I'm in recovery, or I'm clean. It doesn't matter. You cannot say that I'm an addict woman. even when I was 5 years ago, when I was, because I work in university, I never, never had this courage to say that I was an addict one day. You lose everything. So for us, for the women in Iran, they are very, very strong people. They are fighting for their recovery. It's not like here. When I get here and I went to the meeting, I was like, what? Really? You can go whenever you want to the meeting. You can share whatever you want. You feel free. But it's not like that in my country. At that time that I remember, it's like 5-7 years that I'm far from my country. But at that time, we opened the meeting, we went, we fight to open one meeting, and then they close it. We went for another one, and we only have, they only let us to open the woman meeting. We only had one meeting that was like mixed meeting between a woman and man. And it was woman meeting, and the woman meeting, they even closed the woman meeting because they didn't like the addict at that time. They didn't. But we fight hard for our recovery together. Sometimes I miss that time. Sometimes I miss this gathering with my sponsor and with another woman. Here, if I want to say that, if I want to be real, here I become lazy because I had this opportunity before this pandemic. I had this opportunity to go to the meeting whenever I want. So sometimes I become lazy. I say, okay, let's go to the next one. But in Iran, no, it was not like that. All the schedule was around the meeting. We have a meeting at 3 to 4:30 on Thursday. So every schedule was around this meeting. No, from 3 to 4:30, I cannot go anywhere, nothing go but meeting. The people here are more lucky. And then, you know, then I, what I can say is that I was full of different feelings. At first, I didn't have any feeling. I know how to not to feel. I know how not to feel. It's one of my, I'm expert of not feeling. Because I really practiced this not feeling for a long, long time. So, but I was full of hate, anger, self-centeredness, insecurity. And the step gave me this feeling, you know, my self-centeredness replaced by selfness and by love. That's what helped me. That's why NA helped me. Because still now, I'm a person who go to the isolation very easily. Whatever happened, I am, you know, I like to go to my isolation. I feel like, okay, let me be by myself. The first thought that come to my mind, let me be by myself. I don't want to see anybody. But even now, when I go back to my sponsor or to the meeting, they never say, where are you? Why you didn't call us? Why you are like that? They say, hey, welcome. Again, you were in your isolation for 2 days. Where were you? They understand me. I'm one of these people. They can understand. They have this compassion. They know who I am. And they don't expect me to be like no one else. You have to do that. You don't have to do that. This is bad. This is good. That's why I always run away. Good, bad, dark, white, I don't know, light. No, they say, whatever you are welcome. We love you. We want you to be back. Keep coming back, whoever you are. And then little by little, by working the steps, what happened to me that I never accept myself. I never accept the other people. I was strict to myself first and then the other people. So it was replaced by compassion. It was replaced by not accepting by surrender, fighting by surrender. So little by little, everything was better and better and better. And they gave me the courage to make something like I moved to this country. When I moved to this country, it was very hard. And I never believed in when I was before my addiction and then I was addict that I can even travel by myself. How I can do that as a woman? No, I cannot do that. But I moved to this country by myself without any knowledge of the culture, not really English language, speaking English language, nowhere to go. So, but I did because NA gave me this belief. I had a new belief in my mind that everywhere around the world, I have a seat. Everywhere around the world, I have some people who protect me. Everywhere around the world, my higher power is with me. So I don't have anything. Why do I have to be afraid? No fear, faith. I have a lot of people who want me, who want to help me. I remember that when I go to Europe, I just type in Facebook that I'm coming to Germany. Is that any meeting there? And a lot of people text me, welcome, welcome. Where do you come? Which way? We are here. We are here for you. Do you want to attend to the meeting? Do you want to come to our house? Blah, blah, a lot of things. So why I have to think that I'm alone? I'm not alone anymore. Nowhere. And so with this belief, I moved to this country. And I try hard. First, I rent some places. I share a room with somebody. And then I rent some places. And then I bought some places. I asked the NA member, how I can do that? They said, okay, you can have a loan. You can do that, do this, do this. And they just guide me how to do everything. Then I found a job. And then I start attend to the meeting. At first, I didn't like the meeting. It was because it was so different from our meeting. You know, in our meeting, because we lose our meeting very easily and they close the meeting, we need to control. We need to have a control on our meeting. Sit down like that. Don't talk like that. Where is your scarf? Your scarf is very blah, blah, a lot of things. So when I came here, everyone was very relaxed. Someone's eating. Someone was laying down. And I was like, this is a meeting? It cannot be a meeting. So, you know, for me, it was very weird that the meeting, everyone was so relaxed. But little by little, I was like, oh, yeah, this is the meeting. This is the NA meeting, not what we have. What we have was a classroom more than NA meeting. And then little by little, I was involved in everything. Then I had to be back in my country 3 times because my dad was sick. My mom had a stroke. So, and this time I always appreciate my sponsor and my friend. I was in a time that I had to have my American passport. And in that time, it was a very bad relationship between United States and Iran. So they told me, if you go to Iran, you can never back. I asked my sponsor. My dad is about dying. What you suggest me to do? And she just tell me one thing. Do whatever you can live with. That's all. And you know, that's why NA work for us. Sometimes we know what to do, but we need to hear from somebody. Yeah, I know. I need to do whatever I can live with in my life, in all my life. Then I was back in my country. My mom had a stroke and my dad died. I had to bring my mom to US and my ex-husband was dead after my dad in a week in LA. And it was another proof for me that's how NA is important for me. We use together. But he never stopped using, and he died in LA. He made a suicide when he was an addict. He lost everything in his life. Money, health, and everything. And it can be my life. I was crying for a long time after his death. It can be my life. We did that together. I'm lucky. Thank God, I'm a very lucky person. So I brought my mom, and of course she cannot walk. She had to have a caregiver. I work 12 hours per day, 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock in the afternoon. Then I have to take care of my mom. But everything is good. Thank God I'm not using. If I was not in NA and I had this situation in a year, what I can do? I just think about where I can find my drug. What I can do? I could help nobody. Not myself, not my mom, nobody. Not my dad. I even cannot attend to my dad's funeral. Because I had to use. That happened to me before. I had to find a bunch of lies to say why I cannot attend somewhere. Because I had to be somewhere to use. And you know, the truth is that I made a lot of mistakes in my recovery time. I cannot say that when I came to the NA, I was very, very nice person. I didn't do any mistake. I didn't hurt anybody. I love myself. No, it just was like happened little by little, gradually, not at the first time. I made a lot of mistake, but the good thing is that every time that I made a mistake, I could share it with my sponsor. And she told me, it's okay, you can learn from your mistake. And she never told me, oh my God, you did this mistake. And I learned from it. And I was still welcome. Nobody told me because of your mistake, you are never welcome. They told me that I am a human body. I am not, I don't know, a saint. I am not somebody like it that can never, never, ever made a mistake. I'm a human body. I can make a mistake. But now I can see my mistake. That's the difference. I don't have to complain about my mistake. I don't have to blame other people. I don't have to blame God anymore. I can say that everything is me. I can change it. I don't have to complain and blame. I can find the solution. Instead of being in problem, I can find the solution. I can change my way. You know, before my recovery, when I made a mistake, I just go through the end of this. I never cut it. I realized that this way is not correct. This is a wrong way. But I never cut it. I never turned around. I went to the end of it. Now, the difference is that I realized, oh no, this is the wrong way. Just go back. Go back. That's a lot of difference for me. This difference by working step make my life better and better. I know that I still have a long journey. I know that but I like this journey. At first, I remember that I was like, when it will be done? Oh my God. When I have to be like a normal person, I don't want to go to the meeting forever. When it's over, 10 year, 5 year, when I can be like a normal person, go to everywhere that I want, not going to the meeting, not calling the sponsor. But now I enjoy that. I really enjoy it because I know that's a gift of God that we have and that normal people doesn't have. They go to find somewhere to do the service. They do the charity, they go somewhere to help the people, they try to find something, they try to find a psychologist, but we have everything we need here. I have my own Trappist, but not a Trappist, it's a sponsor. It's someone who I can share everything and can understand me. I have my own friend and family. I don't have, you know, I'm a codependent, and I could never kick out the people that are not good for me out of my life. That's another lesson that I learned. I don't have to stick on something that is wrong. I don't have to stick on people that are not for my life. This will kill me. This is not good for my recovery. This is not good for myself. I will lose my self-confidence when I'm doing that. I will lose my life. I need to be enough strong to accept what is good for my recovery and to accept what is bad for my recovery. My recovery comes first. I need to do something that I can love myself. Everything for me is part of the thing I can say. I ask me, if I do that, can I love myself? Can I still love myself? If I don't that, can I still love myself? And now I can understand. If I don't, I will ask. I have a lot of people who I can call and ask. What do you think? Do you have this experience? And that is the gift. That's the gift of God. I don't know what to say more, that I'm very, very, very happy to be here. I pray for the people in my country. I am very concerned about the women in my country. They are very, very strong people. And I still say that I think that all the women around the world, all the addict women around the world are very strong people. It's very harder for the woman to be an addict than the man. As a woman, I can say that. And I can say that the women in recovery are the very strong people. I don't know about the man because I never was a man, but I can say that the women in recovery are very strong. And I really admire them, because it's very hard to have all this emotional feeling in the same time. You know what I mean? It's very hard to be a woman and to be abused, to have this feeling that you are not loved, to try hard to be loved, to have this feeling of guilt toward, I have this feeling of guilt, especially toward my daughter. I was a single mom and I raised my daughter by myself because I think my husband used, and when I had divorce, he was using still and he wanted to use. But still I have this feeling of guilt toward my, you know, over my daughter. So it was very hard for me. Another success that I have is that I started 2 years ago to just write my step four for the fourth time. And then I told my daughter, because, you know, I know that I'm an addict, and I know that the people who live with addicts abuse the addict somehow because of my addiction, of course. And then they take advantage of the situation and they are used to that. So I told my daughter 2 years ago for the first time that I don't let you to behave like that. You can be in my borderline. If you want, you cannot pass the red line. You have to be like that, or you can be far from me. It was very hard for me to do that. For the first time of my life, I could say, hey, I have my personality. Nobody can do that to me. And I could tell her, don't call me. If you want to call me, you need to be very nicely. And for 3-4 months, I was every day crying, every night crying in my room. But I never picked a phone and I never talked to her. And now we have the best relationship. She respects me and I respect her. And I love her and she loves me as a mom. You know, she forgave me because I forgave myself. I could never forgive myself. I start to forgiving myself. I start to loving myself. I have a very lower back pain right now. And the doctor told me that I have it, my disc, my L5, and I need to do. You know what? I remember that I was 20 years old when I had first time this pain. And you know what I did? I use more and more and more, because I think that the drug is the solution for everything. So I use more every day and then I go to the surgery because I didn't feel the pain. So I had to go to surgery. And before the surgery, I use a lot. So I could not, even they could not give me this anesthesia because I used a lot. And after my surgery, because I use again a lot, I didn't understand the pain. So I had to do the second surgery. Now, I have this pain. I try to lose my weight. I try to exercise a little bit. I try to do whatever I can not to go to surgery, just in case that it's really critical, because I love myself. And I love you all to be in my life. This is you all that give to my life a meaning, a real meaning. Without you, I'm nobody. I still know that without you all, I'm nobody. I'm still Sima. I will be Sima, an active addict. But now I'm Sima, an addict in recovery because of you. Thank you so much for listening to me.